Well, tonight, speaking of prayer, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I am going to not elaborate a great deal on each one of these points, but we'll stay in the book of Acts and we're going to notice something tonight in Acts chapter 1, beginning with Acts chapter 1. And it's this: why do we keep having Wednesday night prayer? I mean, a lot of churches have given it up. And we'll just go to one service a week, and then they might have some home or cell groups meeting. I don't even know how that process is working these days, but they may still be doing that, that meet midweek. The question is, why do we keep having Wednesday night prayer? And the answer is found in the Bible. We keep having Wednesday night prayer meeting for several reasons. And the first of which is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Before we examine it, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help guide us through the study. Brother Vargas, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. All right, number one, the reason that we keep having the Wednesday night prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1, verse 14 is this: these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Look again in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. You'll see it again. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they had heard they were being told by the chief priests and the elders not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God, watch it, with one accord, and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. The first reason is that prayer keeps us in one accord. You know, Sunday morning we have a time of prayer. A few of the men will get together in my office, a few of the ladies get together in Randy's office and pray for the services. And a lot of that praying that we do in the morning is about the song service. It's about people coming that are lost to hear the gospel, to get saved. It's about you having safety getting here. It's about, since we're doing it around 9 o'clock in the morning, we're praying the Lord will wake some of you up and get you here. You know, all that stuff. And we have, and it's, so it's principally about the service and about the people that will be in attendance in the service, with a few other things that come up. And so Wednesday night is the time when we get to hear from each other and pray with each other throughout the building. And you know, what the Lord does with that is that He keeps the church in one accord. The old saying, the old adage is true: the family that prays together stays together. The church that prays together stays together. I believe that the Lord honors this time that we spend together to keep us in one heart, keep us in one mind, to keep us in one accord as a church. Very, very important. The second thing about the Wednesday night prayer meeting is this. It's found in Acts chapter 4 as well, and it's in verse 31, when they finished praying at verse 30, verse 31 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now that hadn't happened here yet, but you know, you might think it's an earthquake if it does. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The second thing about the Wednesday night prayer meeting is that prayer keeps us filled with the Spirit. Now, frankly, being filled with the Spirit of God is as much of a challenge today as it's ever been, because there are so many other things that interfere in our lives. But you know, by the time you get here on a Wednesday night, you've had a little bit of fellowship, you sit down and you're beginning to sort of wind down from the day that you've had out there, and you become more interested in the praises of other people, what's going on the mission field, start praying. You know what begins to happen? There is a transition that takes place in your in your spirit, where the Spirit of God begins to occupy more territory in your life and more territory in the church. Listen, if we didn't have the Wednesday night prayer meeting, you went from Sunday to Sunday. By the time you got to Friday, you'd be so frazzled with all of the things that go on out there in the world. You'd be stressed out. And this kind of resets the stress level, resets the filling of the Spirit of God in your life and in the life of this church, and keeps the Spirit of God in charge of what's going on here. I still refer back to that statement that was made one time when a preacher was asking his staff, hey, what would stop around here if the Holy Spirit pulled out? And when he confessed to the staff that 95% of what they were doing in that church would continue if the Spirit of God pulled out, it really troubled him. And he said, you know, Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. We need to be more dependent upon the Spirit of God in the church than that. And Wednesday night prayer meeting keeps us tuned up and filled with the Spirit of God. There's something else in verse 31 also. Why we keep the Wednesday night prayer meeting is not only to keep us in one accord, to keep us filled with the Spirit of God, but notice at the end of verse 31, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Prayer keeps us preaching with boldness. Truly, when you see the attitude of the world about preaching, it is easy or to be tempted to cool off when you find that your message is not widely popular and there's resistance to the truth out there. Somebody was asking me the other day about door knocking, about public evangelism, about visiting with people out there about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll truly say, in the last 30 years, I have seen a definite decline in the reception of people to a general witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And things have really changed. I'm sensitive to that. When we go out with fishers of men, I know that our principal concern is to get a Bible into the hands of the people that we're when we knock on their doors. And so if a guy's got his foot wedged in the door and he's peeking out through that much light, I'm not going to sit there and try to badger him a great deal with the gospel. If I've got if the Bible has already been given to him and he understands how to use it. Because I simply feel like the longer I stay, the more inclined he's going to be to give the Bible back, shut the door, and tell me, see you later, pal. You know? But in the old days, people used to open the door wide. Many times would invite you into the house. That was a very common thing. Sit down, and it was not uncommon on Tuesday night visitation to come back from time to time, certainly more often than not, with somebody that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. And that's really changed. Well, there's a tendency, and you see it all over, to want to cool that message down and quit being so bold because you think you're turning people off. Listen, they need to be turned. And if they're opposed to the gospel, then we can't soften it and make it more palatable. We've still got to be bold by the Spirit of God in order to present that life-changing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Wednesday night prayer meeting helps keep us in that boldness. You know, when you guys pray for the pastors and families, and Randy's over there teaching in the College and Career Young Family class, and Tony's over there teaching and then eventually preaching in junior church, teaching over here with the teens, I'm in here teaching and then preaching. You don't realize how valuable to this ministry that prayer is. We know what it takes to build a message and then to be able to preach that message with boldness. It takes the Lord God, and it doesn't take the man. And prayer is what makes that thing keep going. I'll tell you something else about the Wednesday night prayer meeting we find in Acts chapter 4. It starts in verse 32. We can read down to verse 35. We could read more, but that's enough. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. There's that one accord again. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now realize the circumstance then of the church and our circumstance now obviously are not the same. The circumstance then evidently was the fact that when these Jewish people in Jerusalem started professing the Lord Jesus Christ, they were kicked out of the synagogue. Many of them obviously lost jobs and various other things. And being able to have a way to supply themselves was crucial. They had to sell their assets in order to live. And evidently, even after a period of time, they ran out of money because Paul was challenged by the men that were heading up the church in Jerusalem that when he went out to the Gentile churches out of Antioch to raise some money to send back to the poor saints that were in Jerusalem. So they were obviously suffering under the persecution of being Christians. And our circumstances are very different than now. You know, you don't have to leave tonight and feel guilty that you own a house and you didn't sell it and offer to, you know, send it down to Raymond Jones in Mexico. So what does this do? Well, then prayer, like the Acts church, the prayer keeps us burdened for the needs of others. I really do. I think this idea of being able to help out with the vehicle, with the printing, all that is all a derivative of not only your giving, but of your prayer. And your prayer is a derivative of your giving. Your giving is a derivative of your prayer. And those men and their ministries are the beneficiary. As a matter of fact, I know of cases when there's been stress on a family in the church, and the church has been very responsive to help meet a need. Just imagine what, you know, Yvette went through the day that she found out that Todd was passed away, and boom, that all hits you in the face. And boy, I mean, without even asking, people were coming to see her. Here, make sure this gets to the family. You know what that is? That's a result of prayer. Prayer keeps us burdened for the needs of others. When we pray for each other, the Lord is answering those prayers. When we pray for our missionaries, I believe we're more responsive to their needs. I believe what happens in a church, and I believe it's happening in our church, is you get so connected to the missionaries and to each other that you are aware of the need, sometimes even in advance of dealing with the need. I had mentioned to Randy a couple months ago, I guess. I said, you know, I'm afraid Brother Hearn's going to run out of car and we're going to need to help him, and we ought to probably do something about that. And then I told him the other day, I said, I'm sorry we had to wait till that prayer letter came in to jump on this thing, because I believe, you know, we were being alerted to it in advance of it dying. That's prayer. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Those guys don't want to have to pick a phone and call us and ask us for help. You know, they're praying to God. If we can pray to God and get that thing met, that's a good deal. So prayer keeps us burdened for the needs of others. Notice in Acts chapter 6, here's another thing. Prayer keeps us, I'll tell you what it is, ministering. Prayer keeps us ministering the Word of God. Prayer keeps us ministering the Word of God. I'll let you write that down. In Acts chapter 6, what was happening is that the church was expanding and there were widows in the church, and there was a necessity to take care of those widows. And because some were Grecian and some were Hebrews, there was a fuss that some of them were being neglected. So it came to the apostles, and the apostles decided, you know, we can't break off what we're doing to start serving these folks. So they said, you need to get 7 men to help. Why? Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They didn't expect the apostles to, you know, break their back and try to keep the ministry going and take care of the widows. The saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And what was the result? The word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? They didn't quit ministering the word and start taking care of the necessities of the ministry. Now, when a ministry grows, like the Lord is blessed in this church, and it's grown, the needs of the ministry grow with it. And so you've got more administrative things, and you've got a lot more distractions that can come up and take you away from the ministry of the word and prayer if you're not careful. When we get together and pray like we do on Wednesday, one of the things the Lord does is He keeps us ministering the Word of God. Now think of this. We've got the Word of God goes out in a number of ways out of here. All right, it goes out on the internet. And that deal has a pretty vast audience now. And there are a lot of resources there. If you've ever gone to it to check it out, you can get, there's helpful things there. It's not to substitute for your Bible reading and study, it's to help you, supplement. It goes out on the radio 5 days a week. It goes out twice on Sunday morning in a lot of different capacities here, once again on Sunday evening, once again on Wednesday evening. It goes out on Monday nights in teaching men, getting some laborers ready for the Lord. And for the women once a month. It goes out to the port, and where it goes from there, the Lord only knows. Cast your bread upon the waters, and it's going. It goes out with fishers of men, right directly into people's homes, and you guys all get tracks out of that track rack in there. I see that they constantly have to replenish that because you take those home in your purses and pockets and give them out wherever you go when you're meeting people. And any other way that I didn't name, that's a lot of ministering of the Word of God and yet more still to do. And you know what a vital part of that is? Praying. Because if you don't, what happens is we get turned in on ourselves like we could have easily done in Acts chapter 6. And the next thing you know, you're not ministering the Word, you're running to church. And pretty soon the church is running you. And that's where the problem is. And so prayer keeps us ministering the Word of God. We're praying right now that if there's another way consistent with what God has already shown us in these various ministries, that the Lord wants the Word to go out, that He'll show us how it is, because we know then that the way He is sending forth laborers into His harvest, He will minister that within the capacity of our ability to do it. In Acts chapter 12, notice this. Prayer keeps us divinely protected. Prayer keeps us divinely protected. Very important. Keeps us in one accord, keeps us filled with the Spirit, keeps us preaching with boldness, keeps us burdened for the needs of others, keeps us ministering the Word of God, and keeps us divinely protected. In Acts chapter 12, Peter got arrested, and so did James. James was killed in verse 2. And Peter had already had some jailbreaks, Spirit-led jailbreaks. And so they really had him bound up. In verse 4, he was held by four quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 men. And in verse 5, the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, what do you think they were praying about? Well, you know, the obvious thing is you would think that they're praying that Peter will survive. But if you know Peter, like they knew Peter, Dr. Ruppman suggested that they were praying that he wouldn't defect and deny the Lord. That'd be a good prayer. Take a whole church of people praying without ceasing to keep that from happening. And you know what? He didn't defect, and sure enough, the Lord did deliver him, and he did get out of jail. In verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And he goes down to the house where they were praying for him, and it lets them know I'm here. And then he's going to head off and do something for the Lord. You know what that is? That's divine protection. You guys pray for each other and you pray for your pastors and families. And I'll tell you what, it's very, very important. I told Randy the other day, I said, you know, the nest is stirred up. The bees are really buzzing. What does that mean? God's been giving us messages to preach to you that are dealing with sin in your life. The messages are dealing with you getting closer to the Lord. They're dealing with holiness and maturing and growing in the Lord. And when that happens, you have an adversary who doesn't want you to grow. And so say that the nest is stirred up because there's trouble. Start stirring with that. Well, let me tell you something. If it's happening in the church, it's happening with the ministers of the church as well. And God has to protect us. He just does. Listen, if God backed up for just a minute, we have a shepherd, and let the devil have his way, this program would be over by sundown tonight. And God knows that. And the devil is very subtle, very, very subtle, very subtle. In order to keep that from happening, what he's doing is he's providing divine protection, and he has to, for the ministers and for the folks that are in this church. Very, very important to keep us from defecting from the faith. Just think of all the men that were good men that have now gone and that they've soured in the ministry. You don't even know the set of circumstances that happened that let that come to pass. But I'll tell you something. Prayer is vital to keeping protecting this church from that kind of thing. It's the Word of God that got us here. It's the Word of God that's going to keep us. Acts chapter 13. One other thing. We keep having Wednesday night prayer meeting because prayer keeps us supplying laborers for the Lord's harvest. Prayer keeps us supplying laborers for the Lord's harvest. Now these guys in Acts chapter 13 are the product of Jesus' ministry. What kind of ministry did Jesus Christ have? In 3.5 years, he did not try to start a mega ministry. He had 12 apostles. In addition to them, he commissioned 70 others in Luke chapter 10 to go out 2 by 2 to help them. And there were 120 people gathered in the upper room when Jesus Christ ascended. And sometime between his resurrection and his ascension, he appeared to above 500 brethren at one time. So in 3.5 years, the Son of God had a pretty effective ministry when you think about it. But his intention was to get that thing going and leave and let the Holy Spirit get in those disciples and make it go to what happened. And look where it is today. You know, we've got more people that show up here on Sunday morning for preaching than were gathered in the upper room, and we're one church out of how many ever thousands were, and multiples of thousands that have been since Jesus ascended. You just have to understand that's a major, major thing that he did. What did he say? Well, those guys, those disciples heard Jesus Christ said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And several years ago, I realized something. Because we pray that prayer. He didn't say just send warm bodies. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So what we need to do is prepare laborers, and that way when the Lord wants to send them forth, there's some men he can send. Two such men went in Acts chapter 13. In verse 1, there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work, whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia and so forth. So what had happened is they were in there and they were working and the church was praying, and then the Holy Spirit said, okay, I want those two guys right there. And God sent forth laborers into his harvest. So as the Holy Ghost and the church sent out Paul and Barnabas, so our church should prepare laborers whom the Lord may send forth into the harvest as he pleases. And you got a couple of them out there right now, with the Woods up in Moldova and Brian and Mary Beth over there in Beeville, and who knows what all God's doing in here. But prayer is essential. It was to the church here. I believe it's essential to that very thing. Prayer keeps us supplying laborers for the Lord's harvest. So somebody asked me, said, why do y'all have a Wednesday night prayer meeting? That's why. That's what happened in the book of Acts. I think it's a real good reason for us to keep the thing going. That's 7 good reasons right there. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to study the Scriptures. We're very encouraged by what we've seen in the Bible. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll continue to follow that biblical scriptural example in the life of this church for Jesus' sake. Amen.